Welcome to Speak It On. This program is designed for the edification and entertainment of the listeners and not designed to be representative of a church, nonprofit organization, or denomination. Opinions expressed are solely those of the host.
Hey, welcome back. And as always, thanks for listening. You know, I was thinking the other day, I've had a few people ask me questions about the Bible, faith, living the Christian life, things like that. And that's really grassroots kind of thing. And I think that for the most part, I ran through my mind a couple of thoughts, and it worked this way. What would I say would be two of the really most important things for a new believer? All right, a new believer to focus on, or at least to start with. And I gotta say, there was a vast number of things that just flooded my brain. But you know, there's really two things, I think, that surfaced. Because all of the other things that I was thinking about really had to do with circling around these two things. The first idea, and there's a whole ton of them, but here's two. For a new believer, or even an experienced believer, all right, to think about, to progress, to mature, to live the life of Jesus in you. And that would be, number one, remember that denominations are a good place, can be anyway, a good place to start, but they're not a good place to end up. Now they can be, but for the most part, they're not. Now, why am I saying that? It's mainly because denominations come from a fixed set thought process. Now, that thought process is not always bad, okay? So, evangelical thought process is not too bad. However, if you blindly follow the denomination, all right? And what do I mean by that? I mean just listening to what their doctrine is, what their teaching is, and just saying, oh yeah, that must be the way it is, and not checking it out for yourself. You are absolutely robbing yourself. Now, why would I say something like that? Mainly for several reasons. Well, for many reasons, but let me give you a couple on that. So, I've been Southern Baptist for blooming ever. Alright? I mean, I was born into a Southern Baptist church. I became a believer when I was 7. It's been a while. And I didn't know anything but Southern Baptist thought processes. Forever. Now, interesting thing was, I had met some people, some very wonderful people, who were Methodist and who were Episcopal and who were charismatic and Pentecostal type churches, and all of a sudden I started seeing other things that were actually pretty cool, pretty good, and biblical. And I was like, whoa, so I guess Baptists just, you know, don't have like a corner on the market. But what nailed that thought down for me was the Southern Baptist thought process on Judaism and Jews and this replacement theology, which is absolutely unbiblical, triumphalism, all of this basically, church's in, God's chunking Israel, God's, and the church is taken over. Now, the church is the preeminent organization, okay? Don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of things that I was cheated from knowing because the people who were my teachers, my leaders, my thought process leaders in the SBC churches didn't and wouldn't share with me about real Judaism and Jesus' day and how Jesus followed it. Because Jesus was a Jew. In fact, that very thought, Jesus was a Jew. Oh man, that would just, oh, what do you mean Jesus was a Jew? No, Jesus was a Christian. Well, no, I don't think he was. I think he went to a synagogue. And so, checking out that stuff, I realized that literally they're following a lot of doctrine and teaching that is hugely bogus because it's based on nothing, on just thoughts that people have had and have never ever checked out. Yeah. And that gave me a massive blow on my denomination. Why? Because people have been blooming lying to me. Well, not lying on purpose, I don't think. Some of these people honestly believe it. Why did they believe it? Because they were taught in seminary. Why does seminary believe it? Goes back record, that's the way we always taught it. That's the way it was, and that's just the way it is. And no. Nobody ever checked out anything. Nobody, until one day, someone did. And then they were like, you know something, all this stuff that we keep teaching about Jews, I don't think it's right. And they go, oh, no, it's right, all right, no, it's right. Well, why is it right? Well, it's right. Oh, yeah, but why is it right? Well, you just know it's been right. Oh, well, just stop it. It's circular reasoning. And that sounds like I'm building a straw man. And you know what? I am. Because that's all he freaking had was a straw man. And I felt cheated by my denomination over that. Now, okay, so you can say, all right, yeah, okay, you know, obviously you have issues with your denomination. That doesn't mean my denomination's got a problem. Well, okay. But don't blindly follow what your denomination is teaching. Because by cracky, they might be leading you somewhere weird. Check the Bible for yourself. And now, there's a part two. So the second point I'm going to say is don't blindly follow what your church is teaching. Check it out. Why is that? Well, again, we always go to the Bereans in the New Testament because Paul commended the Bereans for checking out the scripture. In fact, Paul, when he argued for belief in Jesus, he argued out of the wind? No. Out of tradition? No. Out of something he found on the ground? No. Out of the Bible. Out of the Word. His Word was the Old Testament. And he argued out of that. It's always about going back to the Word. And the problem is, right now, biblical literacy is, well, in fact, literacy completely everywhere is gone. It's just low. Why? Because you can see a video on YouTube and boom, get the information like that. You don't know if it's right. You don't know if you checked it out. You don't know any of this jazz, but by cracky, this guy on YouTube had an awesome production and Yeah, there it is. Check out the sources. Source credibility. And sometimes they use the fancy word of vetting your sources. But ultimately, it's the same dang thing. It means check out the sources. Check out my sources. Don't ever listen to me just flat out. I mean, and you say, well, why would you say something like that? You know, what, are you deceiving us on purpose? No. But here's the issue. You need to know. Check out what you're hearing. And yes, guess what? It's difficult. It can be. Because you're having to really ingrain and engage the rage on the page. And check your info. Check where it's coming from. If you got a screwball who sounds really, really great, and then all of a sudden he goes off into, well, you know, Jesus was an alien, and I think he was on Easter Island and built all them stones. You might want to go, oh, wow, you know, he started really great, and then he just kind of went right off the rails. So look, don't ever blindly follow the denominational teaching. Denominations are great places to start. They're not always great places to end up. Because here's a final thought on those two. Okay? And this is it. I mean, if anything, this ought to just drive it, just screw it to the floor for you. When you die, there's absolutely no indication that anyone else is going to get to stand by you when you stand before the living God. When you pass from here to there, and you're before the living God of ages, the ultimate power in the blooming universe who knows everything before you say it, and has it all recorded, and can show you frame by frame everything you said in your life and thought in your life, no one is going to be there with you. Not the blooming Pope, not your priest, not your minister, not your mom, not your dad, not your brother, sister, and no one. Zero. It's you. Alone, with one exception. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, He's going to be there with you on your behalf. Yes, there's that. And that's enough. In fact, that's more than enough. But again, we all, good or bad, saved or lost, have to answer for what we're doing here. And you can't pawn it off. Well, you know, my priest said this, or no, my minister said this, and my preacher said this, and my Pentecostal preacher said this, and my bubby, and you know, my mama told me this, and my daddy told me. That's not going to fly. That don't fly. None of that flies in the great beyond of the kingdom of God when you're standing before the master of the entire blooming universe. It will not fly. It ain't going to do it. It's not going to do it, because basically you're going to be there. And the excuses of, oh, well, so-and-so said. Well, so-and-so said. No. Because the answer at that point is going to be, what did you discover when you read the Word? Did you read the Word? Did you read the Word? Did you check out what my servant Paul said? Did you check out what my servant Moses said? Did you check out what my son Jesus said? Did you check out any of that stuff? Did you read that? Is that what you read? Is that what you did? That's going to be the question. Not so-and-so or so-and-so or so-and-so. You can't pawn it off on anyone. It's going to be you. Now, if you know Jesus, it's going to be you and Jesus. But still, Jesus is going to ask some hard questions too. Probably the same ones, right? Did you check out what my servant Paul said? Did you check out what my servant Luke said? Matthew, Mark. Did you check out what my servant David said? Solomon, Moses, Isaiah, all of these. Did you check out that information? That's a question you might get asked. And it would be really, really good if you could say, you know, I did. And I believed them. And I tried as best within my life as possible to follow what I want, what the Word told me you wanted. And I followed the Spirit and I followed your Son. And thank you for your sacrifice for me. Seriously. So, don't blindly follow what your denomination is teaching you. Don't, and by blindly, I mean, oh yeah, they said it, they must be true. Because that may not be the case. May not be biblical at all. Maybe based on a presupposed thought, like I found out, it's not based on scripture at all. And don't blindly follow what your church is telling you. By the way, your pastor might be wrong. And if he is, or she is, I think it's kind of your job to let them know. As a member of the body, now they may pat you on the head and say, oh, no, I'm fine. Well, no, you're screwing the Word up and we're fixing to get rid of you. Or, no, you need a teachable spirit in you, pastor, and so here's the thing. Everyone will be held accountable before the Lord God. I think churches need to hold their staff a little more accountable as to how well they know the Word. Because, look, if you're hiring pastors and people as event coordinators, wedding planners, social workers, stuff like that, there's a whole lot of people out there that can do the job better. Guarantee it. What they're supposed to be doing is being experts on the Word of God. And if you're the smartest one in the room, the pastor, the youth director, is not the smartest one in the room, then they freaking ought to be, or they should want to be. And if they don't, there's a problem. So, with that in mind, I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Speak It On. And as always, don't be afraid to speak the Word in boldness and truth. And may God bless all of your efforts.